from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Well, good morning. My goodness. Well, here we are. It's Monday, May 14th, 2018, OneRadioNetwork.com. My name is Patrick Timpone. Next hour, we're going to talked to a pretty cool lady. Her name is Carrie Gillum. Her latest book is called Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and corruption of science. She's been an investigative journalist for about 25 years and has followed the story of Monsanto glyphosates and this stuff for a long time. There's some court cases out there that she's following that we'll talk about in her latest book. And they're not happy with her, as you could well imagine. But she's going to be on, and that'll be next hour. Tomorrow, Wayne Blakely, child presented with autistic behavior, made a little baby. And so this was about 20 years ago, and so he went on a search to figure out what was going on and how to help his little child, his boy, and started doing massive amounts of research year after year after year. Developed a few products in the form of probiotics that are real special. I've known him out for about 10 years. Kind of lost track of Wayne Blakely. Anyway, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow about this journey and these products. And we're going to begin promoting. They're really cool. Some real special probiotics, all different kinds. Not just probiotics, but stuff that are all fermented and really cool. So that's going to be good. That'll be tomorrow. Andrew Goss will be here on Wednesday. Then we're working on some people for Thursday. So hope you had a nice weekend. If you'd like to be on the show, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. First up this morning is a gentleman that you heard of before. And we know Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. He's a good one. He founded Cornucopia Pet Foods, and he's a vet up in New York, up in Huntington, New York. And he founded the Cornucopia Pet Food because, you know, after you're fronting out all this pet food and what's in there, that, well, what are you going to do? And it's a great product. It's organic pet food in cans. We don't have a financial interest in Cornucopia Pet Food. However, we do put the link in our store just because we think it's a really nice option for you. It's the only purely organic pet food probably out there in the world, just every ingredient. And just as full disclosure, every now and then, Dr. Broderick sends me a case of food for Doodle. And so I just want to be full disclosure, you know. So that's, but it's he just does it because, you know, he's a nice guy. So we have it here for Doodle when she eats canned food, and we give her raw meat and most of the time. But anyway, Dr. Broderick, I just wanted to give you that kind of like, how are you? How are things?
Great. I'm absolutely great.
You sound absolutely great. You're still in practice, right? You're still in practice?
Why do you say that? Like I'm old or something?
No, because you're totally in your pet food thing is your big deal, but you still...
I've got clinic hours all afternoon. Mm-hmm. I've got surgery today.
Surgery, really? Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff to do, and then, then I, you know, in between, I talk to about 30 people a day around the world for Cornucopia, and I'm really a teacher.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's what doctors in Italian, and Roman and Latin. That's what doctor means.
Really?
People don't. Yeah. means doctor means teacher.
Oh, I thought it means give me a pill.
No, or give me a copay.
Give me a copay.
Give me an 8-minute office visit. Don't shake my hand. Call me doctor, and I'll call you Patrick.
Yeah.
Right, and then get the hell out of here.
Oh my goodness. Well, is the tradition?
Oh, no! Before you go, give me the copay.
Oh, give you the copay. Right. It's like. Did you hear this one about? This is great about. I have an attorney, and I asked him if I could, if I gave him $500, would he ask? Would he give me answer me two questions? Right, for $500. He said, "Certainly, sure." He said, "What's the second one?" What can I say? So in the veterinary,
it's so unbelievable. I mean, it's so unbelievable.
What do you mean?
You can't get them on the phone. You nothing. I mean, you know, I do this. Yesterday was Mother's Day, so I was in the clinic for, I don't know. I left at about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I guess I left. I left at about 7 o'clock.
You were there all day.
To go to the Mother's Day celebration, mm-hmm. You know, and that was it. I'm walking out the door, and the phone rings, and it was someone that needed some help for the dog, and it was their first time they had ordered cornucopia, so I went through the whole thing with them, and then I went to the Mother's Day. So I finally arrived about 8 o'clock.
Yeah. What were you doing? You were talking to people all day, and you sell dogs and cats yesterday?
I didn't see any. Well, I have dogs and cats from the hospital.
I see.
But I had to do, you know, how to do the treatments, and you know, I had to do the treatments. I feed them. I feed them about every 3 hours because that's the way you feed a cat. And in the discussion with everyone. They feed the cats twice a day because no one has ever taught them, because they don't teach, taught them to that a cat's stomach is the size of a golf ball and a dog's stomach is the size of a baseball. So how many golf balls can you put inside of a baseball? Probably five to six.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the cat is lean and mean and light and everything because it climbs trees, it does all these things, and it hunts all day long. And the reason it hunts is because it's hungry. And so when I designed Cornucopia, this is my 50th year, by the way.
And they said it wouldn't last.
We're in my 50th year, yeah. And I graduated... 50 years ago.
That's great.
So anyway, the cat is not a dog. A dog is a scavenger, gets what's left over, and then just munches down the food, and a cat takes its time and eats it and chews like you went to work.
Yeah, they're very, very polite and everything.
Right, they're very polite, very polite. and so the cat is hungry every 3 hours. So the way to feed a cat and have them get back to 25, like I do, is besides feeding them human-grade, non-GMO, antibiotic-free, gluten-free, cage-free, and the biggest thing now, which we're going to talk about today, is harm-free, because we are in the harm stage of feeding animals. You feed them...
Doodly.
You feed them every 3 hours. So what I did with my cans of food, I designed them so that the cat eats every 3 hours. And I designed the food so that when you give a tablespoon, you're giving 15 grams. When you give 15 grams, you're giving the cat the size of a mouse.
Oh,
so,
that's great. Right? I like it.
Yeah, this is all metrics. This is all metrics. And I learned it from the cat, not from anybody else, not in school, not from going to veterinary meetings. but I learned it by observing the cats and figuring this thing out. And, of course, I've opened up probably close to 300,000 cats doing hysterectomies and neuters and other things and all kinds of surgeries and every surgery.
Wow.
Every surgery you could ever imagine. And I looked at them and I saw that the cat's stomach really doesn't dilate like a dog's does. Hmm. So a cat's limited to what it takes. So if you feed a tablespoon of my food is so concentrated it's worth three times any food in the world with nutrition. You're giving the cat, you ready?
A mouse.
Every tablespoon is a mouseful.
Is a mouseful. I like it. I like that. You're so silly. So are you recommending then people, like even with their healthy cats, then feed them like that if they're home? Well, I mean, if you're not home all day, you can't do that.
No. But I said, they'll say, "Oh, I'm too busy. I got no. Stop. I go, stop. Stop. You get up in the morning, don't you?" And they go, "Yeah." Okay, you feed them when you get up, and you feed them a mouthful or two mouthfuls if they're really hungry,
mm-hmm.
and then you leave a couple of mouthfuls when you leave for work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, when you come home or somebody else comes home, they feed them another one. When you come home, you feed them another one before dinner, because you do come home for dinner. Very few people work the 14 to 17 hours a day that I work. So you come home and you feed them again, and then you feed them after dinner, and then you can watch the horror of the news on, and then after the horror of the news, you can then feed them before you go to bed. And before you go to bed, you leave them an extra mouthful so they can eat during the middle of the night. That's what I do. I just counted eight, didn't I?
Boy, yeah, that's pretty good how you figure that out. Dr. Jeffrey Broderick is with us. If you have questions about your kitty or cat, or do you do ponies and hamsters? Do you take care of them too?
You know, not anymore. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. My time is really limited to dogs and cats. My horses, I retired from polo.
Well, we probably don't have a lot of horse people listening. You never know. But our phone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So that kind of makes sense if the cats are like hunters, really, that's what they would do, right? They'd go out and get a little here, a little bit there.
That's right. And so most cats now have a real big thing going against them, and that is they're locked in the house.
Yeah.
Locked in the house, and they're locked in the house because the coyotes will get them, and coyotes love to eat cats, and so the coyotes get the cats are locked in the house, the people, there's no room anywhere for anything, and so my cats are out all day, because I live on a swamp, and I live on the end of the street, on a swamp, so there's vast amounts of acreage that they can roam, and they just, you know, they kill everything in sight.
Eat little lizards and stuff, yeah.
They eat little lizards and little mice and little everything and little bunnies, and this is what they do. And they live, and they eat, and they get cornucopia constantly, and not left out, but I feed them, and then they eat that, and then I'll feed them later, and then when somebody comes home here, I will then they'll get fed again. So they get eight mouthfuls a day. Besides that, they have free range of all these little critters that are out there that they keep the population under control, because that's what they do, and it's amazing how they do it, because they're like a prehistoric thing from Jurassic Park. Anything that moves, they can see.
Yeah.
They do this, and they'll watch. They'll sit there and watch the birds, and the tail goes erratically back and forth, and their concentration level goes through their tail. So the body of the cat doesn't move, but the tail moves, and it's fascinating to watch a cat because a cat is a fantastic, it's the smartest animal in the world. It's the animal who people say, well, when was the cat domesticated? And I say, the cat was never domesticated. We were domesticated by the cat to be an absolute servant, because with the dog, the dog is part of the family.
Yeah.
The cat, you're the help.
Yeah, you're the help, and cats are from a different planet. I can remember about a long time ago, one of the few snakes I've seen around here, we have a creek, Doc, and I walked down towards the creek, and there was my cat, Jazzy Boy, and there was this snake all curled up. I'm not sure if he was a poison guy, but he sure didn't look good on the side of the creek, and all coiled up, you know, and my cat was sitting there about a foot from him, maybe closer, staring him right in the face, and just saying, come on, dude, do your stuff. And I couldn't believe he did that. I mean, he was just standing, and I'm freaking out thinking that the snake was going to get him, but there's no way, you know. The snake just finally backed down.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, that they can deal with snakes like that? Wow.
It is the smartest animal in the world, that in my observation. They're so much smarter than people. I mean, that's why they have all this control, you know. Meow, meow, I mean, I'm sorry, meow means I'm hungry. Meow, meow means feed me. You don't want to know what meow, meow, meow means on radio.
That's right. We can't say that on the radio. Okay. So how about doggies now? You say doggies, they have a stomach the size of a baseball. So would it be better to feed your dog, say, twice a day rather than once a day?
No, you can feed your dog twice a day because the dog, first of all, the dog can live on anything. You can feed the dog whatever you eat, but you have to give the cat just meat. The cat's an obligate carnivore. That's why cats die. They die from pet food. Everybody has to just stop feeding pet food so the cat cannot metabolize vegetables almost at all. It cannot metabolize carbohydrates. It cannot, and this is what the pet food industry does. The only way they can keep raising the price and making more money at the same time is they load the pet food up with carbs and plus the other things that we're going to get into later in the conversation, which are going to blow everybody's minds. So stay tuned, because people have never heard this in their lifetime, what we're going to talk about.
Oh, you mean because that thing that you wrote me about some of the stuff you're finding and
that's right.
Wow.
What we're finding is just absolutely deadly, but it's in cat food. Remember, I'll be 77 October 23rd.
Yeah, so you're just a kid.
I'm just a baby. So when I grow up, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I got to grow up first. So, and I don't want to. So when I was born, there was no pet food.
Right.
When the pet food industry started was the invention of the extruder, and that made all this dry crap, okay?
Did you just say crap on the radio?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you're a doctor. You can do that.
Oh, you know, listen, I'm watching this thing on Sunday, and it was about nasty-ass animals.
Oh, good.
Right, so I said to my wife, they can say that? She says, yeah, it's a great show. It's on all the time. Everybody loves it, and the reason they love it is because they can't say it, but they can say it on television. So this nasty-ass animal does this and this and this and this, and they love to listen to it.
That's the name of the show?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. It, like, they had one was a that thing is like a badger. What's the other thing? A wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
A wolverine. Hmm. All right? So they went through and they really hyphenate it when they say nasty-ass animal. Right? everybody laughs because they can say on television they can say anything they want. In the movie they say everything.
Dr. Jeffrey Broderick is with. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So check this out. So I'm looking at your ingredients of your perfect. I mean your cat food. It's like totally, just like totally animal stuff. I don't see anything else in there except, I don't know. I don't see anything else in there except that's it.
That's why it's perfect.
Perfect. So dogs, they are carnivores, but they can't get away with eating a lot of other stuff, right?
The dogs can eat it. Dogs will eat sawdust. I mean, you know, you put MSG on sawdust and the dogs will scoff it down. The dogs will eat anything. Hmm. But a cat can't do that. And so the reason that every other cat, one out of two, dies of cancer is because of the food. The reason that one out of two dogs die of cancer is because it's because of the horrors of what's in pet food. And the other one out of the two that die from diabetes. Because the dogs, even though they're carnivores, but they can eat a variety of foods which a cat can't, is that the pet food companies fill it up with, you're talking about 60% carbs in some of the foods. All right, so if you ate 60% of the carbs, you'd get diabetes, because if your doctor hasn't told you lately, which they don't because it takes too much time. The 8-minute office says that it gets in the way, and then they got to collect the copay.
Yeah.
So if your doctor hasn't told you, diabetes comes from eating carbs, eating sugar, and eating carbs. Carbs convert to sugar. Carbs are sugar. Sugar are carbs. And so anybody that hasn't gotten through that yet, don't go back to school and try to learn about it, because they're told not to teach you about it in school, because the schools are funded by the carbohydrate companies and the sugar companies. That's why they have soda and candy, and nobody complains about that, because the funding would go away. That's why we don't talk about this. When you see a television program, you're not seeing me on television all the time. I mean, you see me on Shark Tank, and you see me here, and you see me there. But every single night of the week, you're watching actors. They're not even real people. They're just actors. They're acting like they're somebody else. And so that's what makes People Magazine and all these other things. It's all about, you know, about acting. Well, what about getting real and getting some science? No, you don't want science because you don't want people to figure it out, just like our kids. The kids can't, the kids hardly read. They can't write. Now they call it cursive.
I know.
We didn't call it cursive. We called writing correctly or the nun will break your hand with the ruler. Okay. That's what we called it, but nobody writes letters to anybody anymore. nobody writes letters. Nobody teaches. Everything's mechanical. And I saw in the paper yesterday that Long Island schools are putting their money toward technology. No, put your money toward teaching. Get a kid aside and show them how to open a door for a lady. You know, try that one.
Stay right there. I got to take a little break here. Dr. Jeffrey Broderick, he's a veterinarian, and he's more of a philosopher, I think, but he does veterinary. He's got surgery today. And Patrick Timpone, oneradionetwork.com. If you care to join the conversation, you can do that. That's my email address, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I was cruising around on Sir Thrival this morning, one of our great people that we work with, and they've got some really, really fun stuff. And if you're going to spend your money on yourself, check out the Elk Velvet Antler, Pine Pollen. Those are my two faves. I took three, I did four things this morning. I did Elk Antler, Pine Pollen. I did his a little few drops of his new product, which is that vitamin K. It's a vitamin D K2 thing. And the ingredients in that, if I could figure out how to make his website work. Oh, it's just my, don't mind me. It's just my mouse. Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's a D3K2 and really nice ingredients in this little guy here. And you know, the K2 is really nice to put the calcium in the right spot. And ingredients. Gosh. Why can't I find that? I'll find it. I think it's natto, and it's made from lanolin. Really, really nice products. Anyway, so you have that, and then you also have the taboo. You know, the taboo, while it's put out there for, you know, libido and all that stuff, it's really kind of important in the whole sexual potency area. This kind of drives everything. If you look at Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine, Taoist medicine too, you'll see, according to them, that the sexual vigor of a person, men and women, that is really the driving, the energy chi that moves everything, and then it goes down to pineal gland, and the the kidneys and the adrenals and the whole thing. So it's really key to keep that really happy, and that's why these different products with the ginseng and the he she wu that Shen Blossom has, and then the different products that Daniel Vitalis has regarding the sexuality stuff. It's not just for the libido and playing kissy face, which is great, but it's not for that, but it's also to strengthen the whole body from the sexual area. And it really works like that. That's why there's so interest in that Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, and Taoist with the sexuality thing, because it's about longevity. It's not just about making babies, which is pretty cool. We have two great people to look at, Sir Thrival and also Shen Blossom. You're going to find some amazing products there. Myron Glass, you talk about, you know, like what Doc does with his food, what these people do with their ingredients. And look at the ingredient labels, which I couldn't find on the vitamin D thing, but it's just, they're pristine. You'll see nothing else in there but the real deal. All organic, Myron Glass. Two great people to look at.
My name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years old, and I've been building muscle and losing fat over the last 6 months. I've been using One World Whey to provide a highly assimilable protein and Kappa Mineral Whey to help me get all the minerals I need and support my body's alkaline pH. I've also been using EsterBlock to keep my testosterone levels high and not allow it to convert to estrogen, which happens normally as men age. The extra testosterone also helps in building muscle. The result has been a successful process of converting my body from fat to muscle. I've lost 20 pounds to date.
Join the many people who are converting fat to muscle with One World Whey. The body is chronically hungry for usable amino acids. Cooking proteins destroys up to 75% of the amino acids. Cooked proteins burden the body and accelerate aging. One World Whey's protein content is raw and virtually 100% usable. Substitute One World Whey for one meal of your day and see how much better you can feel. Click and order on the One World Whey banner ad right here at OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Really? I don't know if I'm ready because...
If you knew that you would die today, if you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low, you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good?
I'm talking with Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. He is a veterinarian up in New York, and his main website is Cornucopia Pet Food. cornucopiapetfoods.com. Is there an S on that? Pet foods, yeah. There's an S on that. Did you say that cancer rate in cats are like 1 out of 2?
Cancer rate of cats are 1 out of 2.
1 out of 2.
Haven't had a case of cancer in over 10 years. 1 out of 2 cats in the United States die of cancer. No, we have no cancer. 1 out of 2 cats die of diabetes because of the influx of enormous amounts of carbohydrates in the food. When you make dry food, you gotta have something that binds it and puffs it up and keeps it together. Otherwise, it'll turn to dust. So they're carbohydrates, which you're really eating is popcorn, and you have to have these things. The grain-free thing is a total fad. Pet food is a lie. That's what it really is. Pet food is a lie. People have to understand, and there's this big joke for the pet food industry. They thought it was a joke, so they started calling me the reincarnation of Hippocrates. So this has spread throughout the world. I mean, have you met Dr. Broderick? No. I've talked to him on the phone. I've done this, I've done that. But have you ever seen him? No. Well, go get his book, Compassion for Pets, and look at page 6, and you'll see this grumpy old guy.
He's just a grumpy old guy, yes? He's just grumpy.
Yeah, you'll see this grumpy old guy, and he looks like the world's coming to an end, and it's Hippocrates. It says, well, that picture's in there because he's the reincarnation of Hippocrates. He doesn't use antibiotics. He doesn't use standard of care stuff. He doesn't use all that. What he does is he figured out that Hippocrates was right because he is Hippocrates, and Hippocrates said food shall be your medicine and medicine shall be your food. So what's the bottom line to this? The bottom line is we haven't had a case of cancer in over, I don't even know, 10, 12 years, whatever. Before we went on Shark Tank, we never had a case of cancer. And we don't have any diabetes. In fact, we have reversed case after case of diabetes, because diabetes is caused by sugar, and sugar is caused by carbohydrates. And the whole medicine thing that we have learned is a bunch of crap, because you don't get diabetes from eating fat, and you don't get diabetes from eating protein. You get diabetes from eating carbs. That's what you do. But carbs are cheap. That's why we have, it's right on my label, net carbs, zero. Net carbs, zero. So if you have 2% carb and you have 2% 2% carb and then you have 2% fiber, the fiber cancels out the carb, so you have what's called a net carb, and the net carb is zero. There's no sugar. Everybody puts sugar in pet food because how do you think they hook the animals? It's just like you and I were hooked when we were kids. It's candy. That's what it is. It's candy. And that's why we don't live very long and we're sick all the time. We're sick from sugar. You know that when I started the natural pet food industry, the night I declared the national war against sugar and chemicals in pet food was the night that Bill Dufty, Gloria Swanson's husband, called me to the stage after he was pitching Sugar Blues, which was probably the greatest book ever written other than the Bible, okay? And he brings me up and I declared the national movement against sugar and chemicals in pet foods. That was 43 years ago. People don't even know who Gloria Swanson is. They don't even know who Bill Dufty is. They can't add, subtract, divide. They can't do anything without a machinery, and now they want to put more money into technology. Well, let me tell you what the technology did. the technology, somebody finally figured out how to really do this and make money in the pet food industry, and they've been doing it for years and years and years and years, but we haven't been able to prove it. Well, 6 weeks ago, the people who thought they were sold, you know, there's a thing. If you think about something all the time and you say it all the time and you believe this all the time and you really put your mind into it all the time, you will turn into that person. So there's this group called Schmuckers.
Schmuckers?
Schmuckers. It's a jelly company.
We know.
Right? It's Schmuckers. But they thought that was really cool because it sounds like Schmuckers. So they said it all the time and they put it on all their bottles. And with a name like Schmuckers, it's got to be good. Okay. Well, that's what they did. And they turned into the greatest bunch of schmucks in the United States. Because what they did was, finally, and now this is a boost for technology, okay? Finally, the technology was that a bunch of animals died. A bunch of animals died. A bunch of animals got sick and sick and sick and sick. And the FDA finally made a move. So what they did was they started examining Schmuckers Jelly Company's 19 different brands of pet food. They own 19 pet food companies.
Really?
Yeah, it's a sugar company. They're selling trash to begin with because they're selling what kills people and kills the animals, and that's called sugar. But you got to put the sugar in to make the scuzzy pet food taste good, which we don't. It says all over my labels, no sugar, zero, nothing, nada. Okay? So Schmuckers went the other way. They make gravy train and kibbles and shits. Oops, kibbles and bits, I mean. All these things, all of a sudden, 6 weeks ago, were taken off the market because they found in all these pet foods about 3,000 SKUs. We imagine that's what it comes to. We calculated 3,000 SKUs. An SKU is a 6 ounce can, a 3 ounce can, a 14 ounce can, a 15 ounce can. These are all SKUs. A chicken flavor, a beef flavor, those are all different SKUs. They're shelf keeping units. They pulled 3,000 of them off. That's why 6 weeks ago, when you went into the supermarket, there was nothing on the shelves. Because 19 brands of pet food pulled up.
What would they find in there?
Oh, thank you. Well, they found phenobarbital and pentobarbital.
Oh, good.
And that's how the FDA got involved, because now there were controlled narcotics in the food. Controlled narcotics in the pet food, all right? So it was on all the television stations and all that stuff at 11 o'clock at night when everybody's asleep, okay? And so they blew past there, and everybody said, oh, my God, there's narcotics in the pet food. There's phenobarbital. I didn't think they went into narcotics, but it was phenobarbital control substance. FDA found it and took it off, which is their job to do, and they did a magnificent job to doing that. Now, if they go to phase two, they may find out how the narcotics, which was never explained on one television program ever, how the narcotics got into the food. Well, phenobarb and pentobarb are anesthetics and anticonvulsants and that kind of stuff, and they're narcotics, and they also are euthanasia solution. So how did they get in the food? They got in the food because there's euthanized animals in the pet food.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And when the FDA says, go scratch to the lobbyists who are down on them on a hourly basis, not to bring this out, all they have to do now, since we have the availability of these tests, which we never had before, and they go and test the DNA of what's in the food, they're going to find maybe cats and dogs in there. Because, and why do I say this? Well, because let's go back to metrics. I know math is hard for people to get. All right, so the get out your calculators, kids, and here's where we're going with this. 2.5 million dogs are euthanized a year, says the ASPCA, and 1.5 million cats.
Wow.
Well, if a cat weighs 8 to 10 pounds, and the average dog weighs 40 pounds, and you multiply that out, you've got 113 million pounds of animal, Patrick. Where do these animals go if they're euthanized?
I don't know. So like at the YMCA, or the not the YMCA, whatever you call that, in Austin, what do they do with the euthanized animals?
ASPCA. Well, nobody knows what they do with them. But you know what? They're finding euthanized animals in Schmucker's pet food. That's what they're finding. They're not finding euthanized animals. They found phenobarbital and pentobarbital. That's fact. That's what the FDA did.
Which is used now, when they put down cows and things like that, right?
Well, you know what? Yes, cows, horses, but maybe, just maybe, since there's 113 million dogs and cats, million pounds of dogs and cats euthanized, you're a little frisky and you're a little Muffy and Buffy out there, just maybe eating his brothers. Just maybe eating his brothers. And I think the chance of that, I think, and this is only my opinion, I'm not saying Schmuckers, the bunch of schmucks who put this crap in the food and let it go in. Oh, well, we didn't know about it. Well, let me tell you something. I know about it because I eat every flavor of every size of cornucopia ever made before it's shipped. And so if I were the CEO of Schmuckers, okay, I wouldn't be such a schmuck, and I would be responsible for what it was, and I would be behind bars.
Well, I wish you could get a little bit more passionate about this. I mean, come on.
After the show, I meant to tell you this. I stay on the line while your next person's going to talk about glyphosate, aren't they?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big. Right.
Can I just stay on the line for that?
Sure, if you want. I mean, you can listen on your computer, but you're happy to stay on. Yeah.
Because
it's a big deal. Yeah.
We're doing major stuff against glyphosate because the animals that are going outside. They're running through the neighborhood. All the lawns are sprayed with glyphosate. So anybody that's listened to this program, when I stop talking about the truth, somebody else is going to get on after me, and they're going to talk about something that's going to blow your mind. So don't leave after okay. After I'm dismissed.
Okay, thanks.
But here's what we got. We got animals. We got dead animals that are euthanized. That's the only way that you can find glyphosate. That's the only way that you can find phenobarbital and pentobarbital in the food. Now, I'm saying this in a very calm way because you know me, okay? And you know what I'm capable of doing on the radio. So, in very calmly, stop feeding pet food. That's the animal that gives you unconditional love. That's the one animal out of five animals in the average American family that guarantees you unconditional love, and you would never feed pet food to any one of your other family members. Why in the world are you giving it to the one who never gets anything, doesn't even get a birthday party, okay? So what's killing the animals, and we're talking about 90%, what's killing the animals is the way medicine is practiced. Nobody teaches, nobody's going to tell you this. Everybody's afraid of being sued, okay, because of what? You can't sue somebody for the truth. And here's the truth, folks. You would never, ever, ever eat pet food. You see, the reason I eat all my food is because the name of the company is Cornucopia Pet Foods, as Patrick said, petfoods.com, okay? The name of the company is Cornucopia Pet Foods, plural.com, but it's not pet food. I hate the name of my own company because it's not pet foods at all. It's certified USDA organic canned food packed under vacuum, has a shelf life that goes on for years, and there's no preservative of any kind in there because the preservative is what grandma used. It's called vacuum, when she put the stuff in ball mason jars. And that's how I started 50 years ago, by doing this. So the whole thesis of this phone conversation is to stop feeding pet food. So what I did, but there's no alternative. Yes, there is. Cornucopia provides the alternative, a safe alternative, and what Hippocrates did, if that, whether it was me or whether it wasn't me, 600 years before Jesus, okay, he lived, and he said, food shall be your medicine. Pet food isn't food. Pet food is plastic. Pet food is not food.
When you look at the dog foods now, they're all advertising grain free, right? Because the whole carb thing. But there's not a lot of meat in these pet foods out there. What are they in the dry pet? What do they use? What's in there?
They use carbs.
Just like what? Like what?
Like corn and wheat and soy and other kinds of carbs and whatever. It's carbohydrate, but the carbohydrate, they get away with the carbohydrate because they're dogs. But the cat can't get away from the carbohydrate. Remember something. The people out there are not 70. Your average audience is not 77 years old. The average audience of 77 is pushing up daisies, all right? So you don't have that. But if remember when we were kids and you had your Italian family and I had my Irish family, and we all sat around and at the dinner table on Sunday at grandma's house,
mm-hmm.
Okay? We learned from them. People don't learn. They don't even call their grandparents. Never mind learn anything from them. And of course because the grandfather doesn't know how to use the computer or text or do Facebook, Jesus. And little Johnny had his first bowel movement today. 87 likes. I mean, it's unbelievable the lack of anything that makes sense. And so because we don't hang out with our grandparents anymore, we've lost that. And I remember doing that. When my brother and sister left the table, it was me and my parents and my uncles and aunts and everything, and I was the only child that sat around and listened to them and the wisdom that they have. And this is what I'm giving you now. I'm giving you wisdom of someone who's been a doctor, a veterinarian, a nutritionist, and all that. And, you know, I came home from Korea after three years in the military, I was in the 82nd Airborne. I was a paratrooper, and so I came home at 19. So I've seen the stuff. I've seen what goes on, and that's what the book is about. That's what Compassion for Pets says. I mean, to send a kid wants to be a veterinarian. Okay, that's great. It's the greatest profession on earth. And veterinarians are really, really, really nice people, okay? They just were taught by the pet food cartel about reverse nutrition. They were taught stuff that doesn't make any sense. So what they were taught, they passed on to everybody else. So I'm teaching you something different. Drop the pet food, folks, and stop it.
Yeah, Lila writes, and she's from Cincinnati. She wants to know what you do in your practice regarding things like vaccines fleas, ticks, and heartworms. How do you deal with those in your practice?
Okay, here's how I'll answer that. When I was a kid in the early 40s, we got, I guess, at least two shots of what do you call it when you prick yourself with a rusty nail? Tetanus.
Tetanus.
We probably got two shots of tetanus a year. Okay, a year. Nobody gets tetanus. And they had to be out of their mind to get a tetanus shot. We have so many antibodies built up in our bodies. This stuff about vaccinating an animal every year is so ridiculous. And those animals out there have had that the vaccine out there has crap in the vaccine that makes you sick. You know, remember something. I talk to about 30 people a day. 90% are women, and so I go through this whole thing about autism and all this stuff every single solitary day of my life. The vaccine companies are making billions, making people sick. That's what. So
how do you deal with it? So we're getting short in time here. How are you dealing with it on your level? Do you just get by with the minimum possible legally on your vaccines?
Yeah. You just go get it tighter if you want to. Okay, get it tighter.
Tell folks what a titer is.
A titer is a level of antibody. So you go and get the antibody tighter, and if you have a titer to the vaccine, that means you've got antibodies present. You don't need to go pumping the animal with nasty stuff. Nasty. Like the show that I was describing before.
Right. So let me ask Doc. So if the vaccines weren't filled with all the junk, the adjuvants and all that, and if they were just clean, would you give them to the dogs and cats?
Well, here's a good example. We all have that thing on our left arm. I think it's the left arm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. And that was for cowpox. Well, cowpox, what you did was you just took a little cowpox juice, which is milk, and you scraped it on the thing that formed that little scar that we have, okay? And that was it for a lifetime. It doesn't have to be once a year. Once a year is a money making killer. That's what it is. But the cowpox vaccine didn't have all these preservatives and all the stuff in it because you didn't need it. You just scraped on the cowpox, and your body made antibodies against the cowpox. And nobody got cowpox. Well, there's not much money in that. Then you got to preserve it. Then you got to do this, and then you got to do that. And it has just gone off the charts.
Yeah, yeah.
On, harm. Oh, Hippocrates, whether it be me or whether it be a different person that I'm getting blamed for being Hippocrates, which is the nicest thing I've ever been blamed for doing. That's like saying somebody's Buddha, okay? And so, or Mohammed, or Jesus, okay? So how stupid it is for them to name me Hippocrates. When you think about it, if you want to knock somebody, you don't name them after an ascended deity, okay? So we didn't use those things back then. That's how vaccination was invented. It was invented by cowpox, and we got one, and that's it. It's not supposed to be an annuity. It's supposed to be
right. So have you tested dogs, say, that haven't had a rabies for many years on their antibodies, what's called a titer, and seen that they were still protected?
Well, here's your answer. I don't hardly vaccinate anything unless somebody insists on it, and I'll give the rabies by law. Okay, I'll give the rabies by law, but I've been doing this for 50 years now. I'm in my 50th year, and I have never, ever, ever had an animal that was vaccinated when it was a baby. Then I've never had a reoccurrence of that disease, ever. So I've got animals, and cornucopia animals, see, they don't die at 6 and 8. The average animal in the United States is sick at 6 and dead at 8. Cornucopia animals are 25 years old, 25, with no veterinary bills because they don't get sick. But you got to go to the veterinarian once a year, get them checked out. They're real nice people. Keep them in business. Otherwise, they're going to go out of business, and all you're going to have left is the emergency clinics, and that's what you don't want to happen. So you want to go, and here's another thing. Early detection is what we need. Wrong beep. Early detection is too late. Too late. So you prevent these diseases with a human grade food. There are none. It's BS. There are none that I really know of out there, so I created it 50 years ago. And we don't have the diseases when they're on cornucopia. So I would say to people, go look up info@cornucopiaexpress.com and learn. Read the book. Read Compassion for Pets. And if your kid wants to be a veterinarian, you damn sure better have him read the book.
And you know, Doc, and we're going to talk about it now, and I appreciate you being here, but the downsides of all of this so-called pet food that probably have exposed to GMOs, glyphosates, too, we don't have any idea what's going on with that yet. I mean,
that's our next program.
That's so right. That's going to be a bit.
Here's what I want you to do.
What?
Without going 888 or however you do it, slowly give the phone number for those people that don't have it, because it goes, when you're given the phone number, it's too fast. What's the phone number to dial you back in case I get cut off?
Oh, no, you can't use that phone number to listen because we just have one or two lines coming in. But I'm going to leave you right here on this line so you can listen to our next guest if you want.
Yeah, but how do I get in with a comment?
Oh, with a comment.
888-663-6386. My time is drawing to a close.
You've drawn to a close a long time ago, kid.
Oh, okay, so listen.
I'm just kidding.
Everybody that's listened, do not go away from this phone. I bless you. May God bless you, all of you. And may God bless those little animals that you have out there. And anybody that listens to Patrick's show can call me, and I will give them the information. I wrote Teresa's song, because I was the last man with Mother Teresa before she retired. And I wrote Teresa's song, and then 17 years later, I sang it last year at her canonization. At the Vatican. I sang it at the Vatican. And anybody that listens to Patrick's show can call me for any kind of information for free, and I will also give you the instructions on how to find addio, which means goodbye, okay, and in Italian, and I will tell you how to get the song for free, because I wrote it and I gave it to the world, and it's about unconditional love that our animals give us. Please stop feeding pet food. I made the alternative. It's there. And no more veterinary bills.
All right, Doc. Is it true somebody told me that you're recommending a lot of your dog owners to give their dog sulfur?
I do.
Is that right? Yeah.
I do. And another thing that I do, like, I eat the food, okay? I'm the only person in the world who eats pet food. I don't.
No, I understand. You told us. No, I get that. I get it.
But I'm the only person in the world that's ever done this. I've been doing it for 50 years on every television network you can think of. But I do it because the animals are my children. They are my children all over the world. And so when you called me and you asked me what to do with your children, they're my children too. So I'm going to spend time with you for nothing, and I'm going to tell you about them and what that does. And you've got to learn that with this final thing that just came out here, when FDA got involved, FDA doesn't control pet food. FDA controls organic pet food, like mine. You can talk about don't do this and don't do that all the time, but what are you supposed to do? Well, for 50 years, I've been making the alternative to pet food. And for 50 years, I have animals whose lifespan, without spending money on sick care, is over 20 years old, when the national average is sick at 6 and dead at 8. And when the animal is sick at 6 and dead at 8, you're going to spend about $1,000 a month to try to get it to the 8, where you spend nothing or close to nothing. Remember, early detection is too late.
Okay, Doc. So, all right, we're out of time.
All right.
God love you. Okay. Thanks. Right. Thanks for being here. I'm not going to hang up on you, so you can listen to us if you like. Okay.
Good.
Thanks for being here, brother. See you soon, right. Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. What a guy. 77, been a vet for 50 years, and as I said before, we don't have a financial interest in his company, but I just believe that the food is causing all this cancer as well. So we put a link in our store to the Cornucopia, and it's just Cornucopia Pets Food. CornucopiaPetFoods.com, and you can get them on organic food, and he'll spend as much time as you want, and he's a great guy.